Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul with Torah Life Ministries, and we continue with the Suffer Well devotional series. My website is TorahLifeMinistries.org, and Torah being the foundation of all scripture, and anything good with a good foundation, everything that's built on top of it is going to be wonderful. But if you have a weak foundation, anything you build on top of it is going to crumble when tough times come. So we must build that foundation. So this devotional series, Suffer Well, the Suffer Well devotional series is based on the scriptures and the Torah, and it's a wonderful series. So we're going to start off with the scripture today, which is Hebrews 9, verses 15 to 17, which says, "That is why he is the one who meditates a new covenant between Yahweh and people, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance Yahweh has promised them. For Yeshua died to set them free from the penalty of the sins they have committed under the first covenant. Now, when someone leaves a will, it is necessary to prove that person who made it is dead. The will goes into effect only after the person's death. While the person who made it is still alive, the will cannot be put into effect." So that's the scripture we start off with, and we read and start off with this devotional, which is called Surrender. It says, "The Messiah came with this new agreement so that all who are invited may come and have forever all the wonders Yahweh has promised them. For the Messiah died to rescue them from the penalty of their sins they had committed while still under the old system. Now if someone dies and leaves a will," and then we go into the scripture, "a list of the things to be given away to a certain people when he dies, no one gets anything until it proves that the person who wrote the will is dead. Then the will goes into effect only after the death of the person who wrote it. While he is still alive, no one can use it to get any of the things he had promised to them." So now we continue. It says, "I have spoken to you much about my patterns. It is critical that you do not only understand them, but that these patterns direct all of your choices in life. You cannot receive what you are promised until there is a death, and that is the death of the old you. You must testify." And then we read in Galatians 2:20, says, "I have been crucified with Messiah. It is no longer I who live, but the Messiah who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of the Mighty One, who loved me and gave himself for me." Galatians 2:20. Wonderful, wonderful. And we keep reading now, and it says, "You know how I have spoken of life that comes from death. Yes, it is the death of your own self that is the only path to your new life. I know that most of you remain bewildered by the crossing over part, the period between death and a new life. I am not speaking of physical death, of course, but rather the death of the old patterns of thinking. Put off your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on a new man, which is created according to the Mighty One in the righteousness and holiness." And that's from Ephesians 4:22-24. It is proper to call this life to death, to life process, a wilderness experience. In these times, it will certainly seem like you are being stripped of many of your physical wants, but all of your needs are provided. His heavenly power has given us all things that pertain to life and holy reverence. It says in 2 Peter 1:3, it says, "By his divine power, Yahweh has given us everything we need for a living of a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence." Continuing, it says, however, you must embrace the faith that gives you the confidence to trust that all you need is available. A desert is hot and dry. Deserts test resolve, and deserts are vast. Deserts have no new natural provision to offer. But consider Israel. In Yahweh's wilderness, everything was provided for supernaturally. Life to death to life. In Egypt, death in the wilderness, and then a new life in the promised land. Again, you cannot receive what you are promised until there is a death. Who among you can see the wilderness as a time of spiritual, supernatural provision? Who among you will take a physical loss and endure the trial in order to see something new? Who will cross over? I am not speaking of getting by or merely holding out until a better day has come. Who among you would sing songs to me and be joy-filled with the impending wilderness? Why would I ask you to rejoice during loss, pain, and hardship? It is my pattern. I need you to be lost in me. You need to be lost in me. When I take the old life from you, your increase comes from your worship. This is my way, child. It is better than yours. This is how I create my miracles. I tell you the things that you so are, things so you are comforted. But the wilderness is the only way. Obey me, child. I am the light of life, and I am he who has designed the valley of the shadow of death, as it says in Psalms 23. So we see this here, and we look at the pattern that he's created for us. That was the devotional, but we look at the pattern of surrendering that he's created for us, not just to surrender our money and our wealth and our friends, but to surrender, be willing to surrender our own life. Just like when Abraham was willing to give up his only son for the sake of being righteous to Yahweh. We must be willing. When it says, love me with all your heart, he meant all your heart. He didn't mean it some of your heart or most of your heart. There's no neutrality without Creator. It says in Romans 12, verse 1, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, to present your bodies as a living and a holy sacrifice, acceptable to Yahweh, which is your spiritual service to worship. We have to understand the pattern. I once heard a story about a man who would sin all the time with his lustful thoughts because of his eyes and his visions on seeing things he shouldn't be seeing. So finally, he got a pair of sunglasses and he painted them black and he put them on. And he walked around such as a blind man. And somebody said to him, why would you do this to yourself? And he said, I'd rather lose my eyesight than to lose my soul. Any part of your body that's going to cause you to sin and uncontrollably sin, it's better to lose that part of your body than to lose your connection with Yahweh. Job 11:13 says, if you would direct your heart right, and spread out your hand to him. The surrendering love and mercy, the surrendering that should be our desire on a daily basis to surrender ourselves to him. Follow me, he said. And the people got up and followed. Romans 6:13 says, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to Yahweh as those alive from the dead, and your members of instruments of righteousness to Yahweh. To change that heart, to change it from bad fruit to good fruit. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Yeshua, and it is no longer I who live, but Yeshua who lives in me. And the life which I now live is the flesh I live in by faith in the Son of Yahweh, who loved me and gave himself up for me. And then I look at Matthew 16:24-25. It says, then Yeshua said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come to me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. How many of you are willing? How many of you are ready? How many? Mark 10:28 says, Peter began to say to him, behold, we have left everything and followed you. But we look. the scriptures about surrendering, and we think about these things. Psalms 37 verse 7 says, rest in Yahweh and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of he who prospers in his way, because the man who carries out the wicked scams. And Colossians 1:9 says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all the spiritual wisdom and understanding. We have to stay sober, and we have to stay steadfast on the goal of scripture and the patterns that are giving in there. It tells us and it shows us with everything. All things are possible with Yeshua, and we have to hold on to that and remember that. And there's only one foundational thing it takes to do that, to be successful. To be successful at surrendering, it takes one thing: to love Yahweh. But we have to understand what love is before we can just proclaim that we love him with our lips. And when you understand all the aspects of love, and you could say you truly love Yahweh, everything's going to be easy after that. To love him, to learn what love is, and to be able to love our wonderful creator. That's what it comes down to. We can give up everything, including our lives, if we truly love him according to the true definition of love, according to his holy word. Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2 says, since then you have been raised with Yeshua, set your hearts on the things above, where Yeshua is, seated at the right hand of Yahweh. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. And that's so true. That's the way we need to think. Nothing is impossible with him. All things, all joy, all faith, all power, everything with him. There's no room for doubt in a righteous mind, just joy. And know and thankfulness that we're successful. Remember, we're told not to conform to the patterns of this world, but renew. Let him renew our minds to his perfect and pleasing will, which is found in the Torah. It's found right there in the scriptures. And we need to stick close to him. And remember, it comes down to loving our wonderful creator. Jeremiah 2:32 says, does a young woman forget her jewelry, a bride on a wedding day in ornaments? Yet my people have forgotten me in the days without number. And Proverbs 23:26 says, my son, give me your heart and let your eyes delight in my ways. And the last couple of teachings, we've been talking about this scripture right here. You never, ever, ever are going to lose sight of that narrow path and that goal of Yeshua when your heart is in the right place. It's only when you start to get tired or you're bored or you don't want to really do something and there's not true love there, that you lose interest. But no, we don't lose interest. We want more and more and more. More power, more faith, more freedom, more truth. And it helps us. It helps us as we get the Holy Spirit and we can just surrender everything to him. Surrender everything to him. And that's what we need to do. It says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me all your heart. All your heart. The church today seems to leave that word all out. They think they just put your heart. No, all of your heart. We need to devote our heart and our soul to seeking our creator and everything he stands for. He offers us a thirst, a water that will never make us thirsty. He nourishes up with food that will always keep us full. That's what he wants to do with us. Let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Hallelujah. John 7:37. Hallelujah. We must seek his face continually. 1 Corinthians 16:11. Continually seek his face and his heart to know. Proverbs 3:32 says, for the forward is an abomination to Yahweh, but his secret is with the righteous. Oh, it's such a beautiful thing. It's so beautiful when we could just rejoice with him. It's such a beautiful thing, and I pray that we can all share that. We can all live that. How much we love him. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. His redemption, freeing us, his freedom, and everything. It says in Psalms 119, verses 2 and 3, how blessed are those who observe his testimonials and seek him with all their heart. And I just sing with praise. Psalms 97. Yahweh is king, and let the earth rejoice. Let the father's coastlands be glad. Dark clouds surround him. Righteousness and justice are for the foundation of his throne. Fire spreads ahead of him and burns up all his foes. His lightning flashes out of across the world, and the earth sees the earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before Yahweh of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness. Every nation sees his glory. Those who worship idols are disgraced. All who brag about their worthless gods, for every god must bow to Yahweh. Jerusalem has heard and rejoiced, and all the towns of Judah are glad because all of your justice, O Yahweh. For you, O Yahweh, are supreme over all the earth. You are exalted far above all the gods. You love Yahweh, and you who love Yahweh and hate evil, he protects the lives of his godly people and rescues them from the power of the wicked. Light shines on the glory, and the joy of those whose hearts are right. May all who are godly rejoice in Yahweh and praise his holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this great gift you've given us in Yeshua, and for helping us grow spiritually, to come closer to understanding what your definition of love is, and for us to humble ourselves and to be able to come to you with these praise songs on a regular basis and just help us grow spiritually consistently to our trials. That's what we want to be. That's what we want to be. We want to grow spiritually, become more mature in Yeshua. It says in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child and I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put on the ways of the childhood behind me. 1 Peter 2:1-3 says, so rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, desire the pure spiritual milk so that you may grow by it for your salvation. Since you have tested that Yahweh is good. That's it. He is good. Surrender to him. Trust him with your life, and he will take care of you. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3 says, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Yeshua. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is a jealousy and quarreling among you, you are not worldly. Are you not acting like mere humans? What are we acting like and what are we doing? We need to be ready and grow and walk in the light and represent the truth of his power. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will be not be completed until the day of Yeshua Messiah. And Philippians 2:13 says, for it is Yahweh who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. How many of you want his blessings? How many of you want to understand that the peace, the fruit is the peace that comes amongst the storms? That's what was so amazing. It wasn't a clear day when Yeshua was in a boat and they woke him up and said, do something. No, there was a storm going on and he was sleeping. And they got up and said, do something, we're scared. And he said, why would you be scared of anything when our father's in your corner and he loves you? And that's the heart we need. It says in 1 John 3:9-10, no one who is born of Yahweh practices sin, because his seed abides in him and he cannot sin because he is born of Yahweh. By this, the children of Yahweh and the children of and the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of Yahweh, nor the one who does not love his brother. Does not practice. Practice means on a consistent basis. We're going to sin. We're going to mess up. But how do we feel about that? These are the questions we need to ask ourselves. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Yeshua, a new creation has come and the old has gone. And think about that yourself. Think about what born again means. Think about it. And think about the fruits of the Spirit. When you surrender, is that authentic? Think about the fruits of the Spirit, and there's your answer. Galatians 5:22-24 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And now that those who belong in Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah, has crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. We see the separation here in a good way. We see us shedding ourselves from all the things that are not of Yahweh and choosing his side, living according to his word, and experience the true blessings that come through the spirit of love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. We see that, and hopefully we feel that, and we understand that, and we believe that. This is a beautiful thing. Remember, there's no neutrality without Creator. We're either moving forward or backwards. There's no standing in between. Job 17, verse 9 says, the righteous keep moving forward, and those who clean hands, those with clean hands become stronger and stronger. Proverbs 24, 16 says, For though a righteous man falls seven times, he will rise up again, but the wicked stumble into calamity. And Psalms 37, 24 says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for Yahweh upholds him with his hand. And now it's time for us to make that change, to cross over and surrender. We understand that Yahweh took us with his very own hand and set us free. Turned the key in the lock and set us free while his son stayed behind dying for us. And now it's time to pay back the prize, to pay back the present, and to show him all the great work and how it paid off, and everything he did paid off. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for this day you have made. We should rejoice and be glad in it because we know we're on your side. We understand the trials and why they come. But we don't open the door to the enemy. We don't doubt you, Father, and ever, ever. That's how you have to be, is not doubt him. You could doubt other people's words, but don't doubt scripture. Some people come to me and say, well, you know, that book was just written by man. Men that were inspired by our Creator, that 99, if not 100% of the biblical artifacts that say where they were have been found, and that everything else in there is truth. It's not about who wrote it. It's about what's written. Is it divinely inspired? And is it going to bless our life? Everything. From the beginning of the book in Genesis, Bereshit, all the way to Revelation. If we stick to his word, we will be blessed. That's the pattern of our Creator. That's his pattern. Part of his word says surrender. Surrender. Are you willing to give it up all the way and take up your cross with me? To die with me so you can be born again with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's what we need to get done, the spiritual growth in our lives. And we might not understand why certain of these things are happening now, but we have to trust that they're happening for a great reason, and we will be blessed for it, and we will come out victorious 100% of the times for these things. Our Creator wants us to do these things. It says in John 15, verses 4 to 5, remain in me and I in you, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. We can do nothing without our Creator. We need to remember that. And I just give you another song because it says in 1 Chronicles 16, 23, sing to Yahweh and proclaim the news to nations of his salvation of Yeshua. Oh, and I do that, and when I sing Psalm 34, I will praise Yahweh at all times, not sometimes, but all times. I will consistently speak his praises. I will boast only in Yahweh, and let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of Yahweh's greatness, and let us exalt his name together. I prayed to Yahweh, and he answered me. He fed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and Yahweh listened. He saved me from all of my troubles, for the angel of Yahweh is on guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Hallelujah. How many of you ready to taste and see how good Yahweh is? The joys of those who take refuge into him, fearing him, you, his godly people. For those who fear him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in Yahweh will lack no good thing. lacking no good thing. Nothing that is from Yahweh you will be lacking. He will give you everything. It says in verse 11, come, my children, and listen to me, and I will teach you to fear Yahweh. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of Yahweh watch over all those who do right in his ears, but are open in their cries for help. But Yahweh turns his face against those who do not, or who do evil. He will erase their memory from the earth. Yahweh hears his people when they call him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. Yahweh is close to the brokenhearted, and he rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Psalms 34, verse 18. We continue finishing Psalms in verse 19. It says, the righteous person faces many troubles, but Yahweh comes to the rescue each time. For Yahweh protects the bones of the righteous. Not one of them shall be broken. Calamity shall surely destroy the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. But Yahweh will redeem those who serve him, and one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for just your grace and mercy. Thank you, Father, for just healing me, for healing my heart. Thank you, Father, for just putting me on your path so I no longer have to live the life of somebody who doesn't know you, Father. Such a blessing, such a blessing. And this is Torah Life Ministries. This is Paul Neeson. Thank you for listening. And it's the simplicity of the word. It doesn't have to be difficult to understand and to get this message. Act according to scripture, and everything else is going to just be a blessing in your life, and you're going to be completely fine, completely. But you must physically act. It says in the scripture, as the face is reflected in water, the heart, or the actions reflect the heart. What is your heart telling you, and where is your actions helping you to understand that repentance brings refreshing? And we must follow the words of our Heavenly Father and be part of that blessing one way or another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for this day you've made. Thank you, everybody, for listening today. Have a blessed day out there. And remember, surrender to him and let him direct your paths, and you'll just be fine. So surrender, surrender, surrender. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day, and shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33416. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, we live for you.